Alrighty, we'll go ahead and get started. I'll say a word of prayer for this training school, and then we'll jump into the lesson. But there's some things that I have to share with you first before we get into the lesson. Father God, we just bless your name on today, and we honor you as always, and we lift you up and just give you the praise for who you are. Right now, we seek wisdom and understanding on today, and we bless you in advance for that. And we thank you always for your son. We love to acknowledge him in every lesson, and we acknowledge the spirit that you've given to each one of us to be led by you. And we bless you for the kingdom that is to come, and we look forward to that day that it fully manifests. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. Before we get started, I wanted to just inform the church on what Yah had instructed me to do several days ago. He asked me a question, and I had to answer it, and so I'm going to ask you that same question, and you have to unjudge yourself and answer that question. He also informed me that that we as a ministry was being tested, and so what he asked me was, he said, when you send out the text messages to the church, you know, just reminding the church of our responsibilities each month, he said, I had you to put in there that whatever I place on the heart of the saints, that would be enough. And he asked me, he said, do you understand what I mean what I meant when I had you to text that? And my reply to him was, I said, well, when you have me to send that text, what you're actually saying is, if we're all being led, then it will always be sufficient enough to meet the amount that has to be done by the church each month. And so based upon that, you know, based upon him saying that, I have to inform you on what we've had to do at least the past 2 months of having to do this, in order for you to understand clearly what Yah is meaning when he speak to each one of you concerning our responsibility as a ministry. The past 2 months, it wasn't enough. And what it caused me to do is to have to sit down with people who were inquiring, who had inquired, inquired of me, was it enough? We had to sit down and come up with ways to meet the need that the church should have met, which meant that, and I'm just be blunt with, be as blunt with this as I can, but, you know, at the same time, y'all know that, you know, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, he corrects, he teaches. And so what you're hearing from me is love. And so y'all was like, I saw a flashlight, so I'm gonna bag up in order to sit this up. There were times when our nation was supposed to do something as a whole, and when one of us failed to do what we were all required to do, then Yah judged all of us. And so what Yah said to me, he said, the mere fact that you had to sit down and come up with ways to get this done, he's saying there are some people that are not hearing me on what I'm instructing them to do. They're not considering. He said, but the reason why I had you to send the text was I was saying to the church is that if you inquire of me what you should give, now look at your budget each month to determine what you should give. If you inquire of me, then I will take care of what the church need as well as what you need when you require of me. And so the mere fact that that there were things left undone that required a plan to have to be made by myself and others who contacted me and was like, okay, is this enough? What do we need to do? Be honest, that should have been the mindset of each one of you. If you are being led by the Spirit of Yah, it should always be enough. And if you are operating in a manner whereby it is a concern about the state of the ministry, then, I encourage you not to just do your part and say that that's it, but to make sure that the way Yah intended for it to be communicated, that it's enough when it is enough, not because I gave what I could. That's not what I was saying to you. I wasn't saying to you, if you give what you can, then that's enough. No, I was saying, if it's all right, whether it's $2 from somebody or $1,000 from somebody else, if it's all right, then it's going to be enough on every 30th or every 31st. If it's not, somebody in our nation, in this case, the church, is not doing what Yah is leading or will lead to be done, because the approach in doing it is based upon looking, seeing all the other things that has to be done to determine what you're going to give. So if any of you, and I love all of you, so if any of you made a decision based upon other things that you felt like you needed to do, I would have gave more, but I got to do this and this. Hear from Yah. And if you hear from Yah, it's always going to be right. Don't make a decision based upon, a budget that you're looking at when that's the budget also. That should be your budget because it's mine. I don't distinguish between my bills and the church's bills. And any of you who do that, you're at the wrong church. You're following the wrong pastor. Okay? And so, it's like what I explained to one of my sons on yesterday. We was having a conversation, and I said, son, I said, this is the way that I am. I said, I don't distinguish the difference between the church's bill and my bills. I never have. I've been doing this for 30 some years, and I put a lot of things on the back burner for the sake of the ministry. I've even lost the house behind the ministry. But then I say this, I said, son, I said, all of us have to have a place to live. All of us have to have certain things that is necessary on a monthly basis. All of us do. And I don't expect for anyone to neglect those things. But wisdom say if it causes issues with, if it causes issues with taking care of all of the things that we're responsible for as a ministry, then I think it needs to be a little bit more planning. Okay? If you're having to do something based upon, well, it's not in my budget to do this month, then you should have planned better. Because when we look at it from a perspective of a pure heart, we all know what we have to do on tomorrow. We all know what we have to do next month. We all know we have to do, you know, if we're planning correctly. So with that in mind, we all know we have to do each month. There's no compromise on this. If we had not planned and met that budget last month and this month by coming with some other alternatives in order to do it, we'd be without a building. That's how serious this is. And so if that don't register, let me give them folks the keys and let's quit wasting money. Because I keep saying this over and over, I do not need a building to do what I'm born to do. I don't need it. I don't need the pastor to do what I'm born to do. I do that. I do these things because I love people. And so my prayer is that if I'm your pastor and we are walking on one accord, then let's make sure that we're doing all the things that's necessary. And my mindset is this, and I was talking to my son about this on yesterday, then I get into the lesson. What I told him, I said, one of the things that I've learned by watching what Yah told our nation to do according to the law, I said, we always covered one another. I said, we as Israel are too much on islands. Everybody's on an island. And so everybody is trying to cover themselves and make sure they're okay instead of being in a position where we as Israel said, wait a minute, you mean to tell me your mortgage is doing you short? And all of us are sitting here, we can rub our nickels together and get this paid. Now, when it's time for mine to get paid, now rub your nickels together and put it back toward, you know, helping me get it done because I made a sacrifice for you. You make a sacrifice for me. Yah told our nation, he gave instructions regarding the poor. He gave instructions regarding the state of our nation to make sure that our nation was taken care of. I don't want to see any of you homeless. So don't be struggling with bills and I can help you and you don't say nothing. If you're struggling, let me know, man, and we'll work some stuff out and do what we got to do to make sure that you have a place to live, because that is important. All of us need a roof over our head. So I'm encouraging you to take on the mindset of your leader. If I'm your leader, if I'm not, don't pay attention to a word I said. Let it be like water on a duck back to you. If I'm not your leader, but if I am, say, you know what, y'all done put me on the nut, but this nut makes some sense, and I believe we can do this if we work together. We all are making sacrifices in one facet or another, and I think it can be easier in these sacrifices if we just communicate and realize that it's not an embarrassment to have a need, but to share when there's a need, and let us look out for one another. I got some good people that's a part of this church that if they knew you needed $500 or $1,000, they say, hey, here, we don't want you to go through this. I know I got people that's a part of the church that's like this. You know, the church has had need. I got people who come forth and given large amounts of funds that's greatly appreciated and different things like that. And so keep that heart toward Yah, and regardless of what's going on, put it in your heart like I put it in mine. I'm your leader. Follow me as I follow Christ. But if I ain't following Christ, don't follow this fool. Because I'm a fool now if I ain't following Christ. But take on the heart that I have. The church's bill is my bill. Our father David said this. He said, I will not offer anything to Yah that doesn't cost me nothing. If we're able to come and put something in the kingdom and there's no affection that's behind it, keep it. Yah has another way. But if we all do it according to like Yah instructed us, whatever I, Yah, lead you to give, that you give. And when you do, it will always be enough. Okay? And so I just wanted to share that part with you because he asked me the question and instructed me to ask you guys the question. So it is now, you know, time to sit down and say, you know, I love my pastor. Let me just honestly judge myself and see, could I have done better? Or did I just cast some pearls out there before swine type of situation? Did I really do my best? If your answer is no, that's okay. Do your best from now. Okay? All right, I'm done with that. Now we'll move into the lesson on today. It's funny, I intended on saying this after the lesson, but Yah just kicked me out real fast, and then he was like, no, keep going, because I was even going to stop the recording. Because people hear this, people hear these lessons beside you. That's not a part of the church. I sent it to quite a few people who are connected to me in forms of social media and other. But y'all was like, let them hear it too, because if they're gonna hear you, they need to know how the ministry operate, and they need to understand that if they request, because I get people that request these lessons that's not even a member of the church. They be like, hey, can you send me that lesson? So y'all's like, okay, if they're gonna be hearing this, then let them know that, okay, there's an accountability for hearing this. And if you're hearing this and it's causing you to grow, then sow back into what's blessing, being a blessing to you. Okay? And so that's why, you know, he told me, so no, don't turn the recording off. Let it be heard. Okay? Now, let's move into the lesson on today. The title of this message is make sure it means what you say. Make sure it means what you say. Or make sure it means what we say. Just have the way you want to title it. Make sure it means what you say. I'll just stick with that. And y'all know this. I say this all the time or often. When we study the scriptures, allow them to interpret themselves. And this is becoming more and more important, at least to me, and it should also to you, as we grow and study and learn the scriptures. You know, I'm trying to remember, I think this is my fourth time reading from Genesis to Revelation, and kind of slowed down a little bit when I was sick for a while, studying as many chapters and wasn't doing as much when I was feeling at my worst. But, I'm back on course. And now how Yah's dealing with me, it's like I'm catching back up to where I would have been if I had not, come down sick. So Yah's redeeming time. And so in understanding that concept, it is causing me, and I, you know, and my hope is that it's causing you to do the same thing. You to see the scriptures more clearly. It's causing me to see the scriptures more clearly, and things are making even more sense. Even though it's on my fourth time around, it's like each time I do it, things get clearer and clearer, and I'm seeing stuff that I didn't see the previous three times. I may have seen and not, you know, paid attention to it, because Yah is like, here a little, there a little. I'm going to give it to you on your fourth time around instead of your second time around. And so this concept that I now understand, or that we now understand, make sure that we do this, because if we don't, we can easily say things that has some truth to it, and then we can say some things that appears to be the truth, but it's not. And you know that old saying, if any of it is false, then it's all a lie. Well, I say that loosely because, you know, when a person is rightly dividing a certain part of the scripture, it just is what it is. But what makes it perverted is when they, you know, interpret something wrong and combine it all together, and you like, man, you know, I'm able to pick out, because I'm mature in the word, I'm able to pick out the discrepancies, but you may have someone else who can't, and they take that truth that's revealed, and then the false that's revealed, and start teaching it and make it all truth. You know, I was in that pickle for years listening to other preachers who were taking the truth and then adding in their own understanding, and because I was hearing them and looked up to these individuals, then I took what they taught and taught those things, and it just wasn't the truth. Just wasn't the truth. And so in order to avoid that, we want to make sure that we allow the scriptures to interpret itself. I never look at any passage and say, that's what I think that means. Because it may not reveal to us what it means until three chapters later. So when you don't have your answer right there, keep reading. Keep reading. Y'all said precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Y'all said keep reading. When you get what you're reading, and the part that you don't get, just keep reading. Because it's going to come around and you're going to see it. All right? Now, we're going to look at an example of this in order to show you how easy it is to mislead people according to the scriptures. And I have to admit, I've misled people in ignorance. But when I came to understand, I came back and was like, hey, y'all, this was wrong. Don't ever be so prideful to the point to where you can't come back and correct yourself. And at the same time, I'm also willing to hear your point of view right in the middle of the lesson. Because my key is, my goal in ministry, my goal as your pastor, is that we have understanding. And if somebody is understanding something better than me, I want to hear it. That's one of the reasons why every time we start discussing stuff about Passover, I'll be like, okay, Brother Luther, what? Because he understand that better than me. I'm the pastor, but he understand that better than me. I understand it, but there are some things he's been doing longer than I have when it comes down to Passover. So why sit here and misrepresent something when I can just lean on somebody who understands it? Okay, and so that's what we're about. We're about understanding. And I don't care who it's coming from if it's right. All right, so let's deal with this, and we'll look at an example of this so that we'll understand the importance of making sure that we are allowing the scripture to interpret themselves. Now, we're going to start out in Micah chapter 3. Okay. I know verse 12 is what I want to discuss, and so I'm just trying to decide if y'all says just do verse 12. Okay. Okay. I'll obey and do verse 12. When we look at Micah 3, verse 12, it says, therefore shall Zion, for your sake, be plowed as a field. Now, we know this is not good. So when it says for your sake, it is letting us know as a nation, from reading verse 1 down to verse 12, is that there are some things that we're doing that we shouldn't. He said it permit verse 8. He said, but truly, verse 8 says, verse 8 says, but truly I am full of power, by the Spirit of Yah, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. So this is Michael saying, I'm full of power. Micah, he said, I'm full of power. Okay? And of the Spirit of Yah, and of judgment and of might, to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. So when you look at Jacob, Israel is talking about a whole nation. So when we look at verse 12, he said, therefore shall Zion, Jerusalem, okay, Zion, for shall Zion, and it also can include the people, and shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem. So Zion and Jerusalem is one and the same, okay? And so, you know, based upon the scripture, we want to stay within that. Although I did mention and said, you know, Zion could include the people, okay? And so, verse 12 again, therefore says Zion, for your sake, what sake? For your transgression and sins. Transgression of the law, which is sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. Right? And so it says, therefore shall Zion for your sake, your sin, be plowed as a field. And Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountains of the house as the high places of the forest. And so when you look at verse 12 here, you get people, and I'm going to put up another Bible, you get people, or I have heard people now reference Matthew 24. Specifically verse 2, but we read verse 1 and 2. It says, and Yehoshua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Yehoshua said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, when you look at Micah 3, verse 12 to the level screen, it says, therefore shall Zion, for your sake, because of your sin, be plowed. And I have to pull up another Bible. And I have to read 23, verse 38. Because 23, verse 37 and 38, I mainly deal with 37 a lot when we're talking about things on this order. But I want to read verse 38 because it's talking about the house, the temple. Michael is talking about in verse 12 to far right. He's talking about Zion. Matthew 23 is talking about Zion, Jerusalem. 24 continues from chapter 24 continues from chapter 23. So verse 38 is what we want to concentrate on. It's dealing with Jerusalem. He says, behold, verse 38, your house is left unto you desolate. Verse 39, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Then verse 1, in the middle of the screen, Matthew 24, it's being continued from Matthew 23 in dealing with the temple based upon what he said in verse 8. He's telling them how how verse 38 would come about. He's telling them how in verse 1 and 2, how the temple is going to be desolate. Okay? I'm going to get out of Matthew 23, verse 38, after I read verse 38 one more time. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Then he explains to the right now. He explains in verse 1 and 2, and Yehoshua went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Yehoshua said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Well, when we look at Micah 3:12, to the left of the screen, if we're not allowing the scriptures to interpret themselves, then we will say this is the same event. Because see, it says, therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, not one stone left upon another. And Jerusalem shall become a heap, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. And so looking at both of these scriptures, if we are not allowing the scriptures to teach us, then we will conclude this is the same event, but it's not. How do we know that it's not the same event? We let the scriptures interpret themselves. And the only way to understand verse 12 is we have to keep reading. Because if we're doing this correctly, we hadn't gotten over to Matthew 24 yet. And if we're studying the Bible correctly, like Yah informed me to teach you how to do, from Genesis to Revelation. Don't read Matthew today and then Isaiah tomorrow. No, if you're studying it and want to understand it correctly, study from Genesis to Revelation. Because if you go to Micah and then you jump into Matthew 24, we are not going to understand what's truly being taught to us, because we skip books. And now because we skip books, and because Micah 3 and 12 is similar to Matthew 24 and 2, now we're going around lying, preaching false doctrine, saying it's the same event, and it's not at all. But if we follow the rule and study precept upon precept, line upon line, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, then we will see that Micah 3:12 has nothing to do with Matthew 24, verse 1 and 2. All right? Now, let's let the scriptures teach us. So we stopped at verse 12. So that was the last verse in Micah 3. So we got to keep reading. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yah shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow unto it. See, one thing that the scripture does is it'll tell us about destructions. Tell us about the destruction of some things, and then y'all turn around and encourage us right in the middle of it. And say, but in the last days it's gonna get straightened out. But let me get back to telling you what's gonna happen though. From this heap that I told you in verse 12. We have a very loving and encouraging God, encouraging Yah, and we have a very loving Savior in Christ. And, you know, my goal is to be loving and caring like them. That's why when I basically, in a nutshell, when you really look at it, rebuked the church earlier, I turn around and said, now y'all, I love you though. You got to understand, I love you. And so in the rebuke was an encouragement at the same time. And so that's how Yah does when he teaches us the scriptures at time. He tells us, I'm finna whoop your butt, but then I'm going to let you know how I'm gonna fix it though. That's what I love about our God. He tells in verse 1, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of Yah shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of Yah and to the house of the Yah of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path, for the law shall go forth of Zion. Well, the chapter before, he said, I'm finna turn into a heap, but I'm gonna build it back up. Well, we have a wonderful God, y'all. Then it says, and the word of Yah came from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. Them high-minded nations that don't want to submit, oh, they're going to get their rebuke. That's why the scripture reveals in Isaiah 11 that Christ, when he returns, he's not going to judge after his eyes and not according to things as far as the flesh. But he's going to judge with the wisdom and understanding and the power and might of his Father. Okay, verse 3, and he shall judge among many nations and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore, but they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of Yah of hosts has spoken it. He said it. You can put that down and expect it. It's gonna be just like he said it. Verse 5 said, for all nations will walk everyone in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our Yah forever and ever. We'll have folks that's going to walk in their own gods, but we're going to walk in the one true God. Verse 6 says, in that day, saith Yah, will I assemble her that halted, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. And Yah shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth and forevermore. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, why doest thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counsel perished? See, after he done told about the wonderful thing he gonna do, he getting right back connected to verse 12 in chapter 3. But why are you crying, Israel? Now, why doest thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? You know, we requested the king. We went to the prophet Samuel was like, okay, we want a king. And Samuel was grieved. And so Samuel went to Yah, and Yah said, give him a king. And Samuel anointed Saul, then eventually anointed David. But Yah said this, and man, I was like, wow, man, why we can't get it as a nation of people? We stiff-necked to this day. Man, and Yah said, because they reject me from being their king. Give them a man who's their king. But that man is going to take their sons and make their sons serve. Take their daughters and make them serve. He's going to put burdens on you because you want a man to be your king instead of the King of Kings being your king. And so that's why he asked him the question, where you king? You got what you want? Instead of you following the King of Kings, instead of you following the true king who ruled over you, that protected you, that kept you from all this drama and kept you in line, why you crying now? Where you king? that's supposed to be taking care of you and leading you and ruling you? Where's your king? Now, verse 9. Now, why doest thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pains have taken thee as a woman in travail. You're paining now. You're in travail. Just like a pregnant woman. What he said in verse 10. Be in pain. And labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion. So that's why I said earlier that Zion is a people as well as a city. Like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field. Why? Because verse 13 is going to become a heap. I mean, verse 12 is going to become a heap. Let's just pull it up. Why? Zion, for your sake, as a be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become a heap. Come heaps. And the mountains of the house as high places of the forest. And so he's saying right here in verse 10, I just read verse 10. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, that's in heaps. And thou shalt go even to Babylon. Has nothing to do with Matthew 24, verse 2. Micah is prophesying to our nation about the future captivity that Babylon would initiate by the hand of Yah because of the sin of our nation. But if we not allowing the scriptures to interpret themselves, we way over here in Matthew 24 lying. Teaching false doctrine for doctrine and calling it the kingdom of Yah. But when we stay within the discipline and understand, I'm in the book of Micah. I ain't got no business in Matthew 24 yet. And by the time we got to Micah 4 verse 10, we would have had our answer concerning Micah 3 verse 1 through 12. It's wonderful when we do it right. The scripture is very clear. This is why you get, especially members of our brethren, and even other preachers who take Micah 3 verse 12 and Matthew 24 and say it's the same event, and they start having issues, especially members of our nation, and they start calling out Esau and say Esau was with Rome when Rome, and they even say Esau is Rome, and they say Esau was with Rome when Rome, when the Romans destroyed our temple in 70 AD, according to, you know, the discussion of Matthew 24, and they say Esau was with Rome when Rome destroyed our temple in 70 AD, causing us to have to flee. But because people don't allow the scriptures to interpret themselves, they'll come up with those type of lies and don't do nothing but bring about confusion. Micah 4:10, again, middle of the screen, be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail, for now shalt thou go forth out of the city. Why? And thou shalt dwell in the field. Why? And thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There Yah shall redeem thee from the hands of thy enemy. You're going into captivity, but Yah encourages again, but I'm coming to get you. You're going to captivity. Michael is prophesying to our nation saying, we're going into captivity because of your transgression and sin, and Babylon is the one coming to do it. Not no Rome in Matthew 24. All right? So this is how we see these things and we understand understand these things. So I'll say this now. Saying this now, Michael is talking about our nation's future captivity. It's past us because we've read about it. But it was the future in Michael's time and warning our nation what was coming. Michael is talking about our nation's future captivity by Babylon. Micah 4, 9, and 10. Okay. We also, and I'm going to get out of 3. We also can see further confirmation of this as we continue to read throughout the scriptures like we're taught to do. And so when we get to Jeremiah 26, it makes sense. Jeremiah 26, we'll read verses 18 through 24. Micah, the Morathite, I think I'm saying it correctly. Let me make sure. Morris T. Wow. I was way off on that one. Oh, no, it's saying it. Okay, I see it now. I think I'm correct. Morathite. Micah the Morathite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah. Right here. This book is beautiful when we do it right. I'm not gonna do it. Just for the sake of time, I'm not gonna do it. Okay. Micah the Morathite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, right here, the book of Micah. But we can't put that together if we over in Jeremiah and skip Micah. Trust me, church, when I'm teaching you to study your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it's vitally important because if we just moving around, we looking at verse 18 and don't have a clue what it's truly about. But now since we've studied Micah 3, and 4, verse 18 in Jeremiah 26, verse 18 is a piece of cake. That's elementary, my dear. He prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith Yah of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field. He said it. Zion shall be plowed like shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps. Oh, this book know what it's talking about. We just don't. Become heaps. And the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. Word for word. But if we study in Jeremiah first, I'm going to study Genesis. Ooh, I feel led to be in Jeremiah chapter 28 today. Ain't going to have a clue what you're talking about. Understand they're going to be jacked up. And that's the reason why most people can't understand the scripture, because we all over the place. We in Matthew, we in Revelation, we in Isaiah, we in Jeremiah, we open the Bible, and whichever place the Bible open, that's where we start studying, and don't have a clue after we get through studying. I know, because I used to be like that. But now I'm just following the script. It's laid out the way that it is for a reason. Okay. Keep reading now. Verse 19. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear Yah and besought Yah, and Yah repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus might we procure great evil against our soul. Verse 20. And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of Yah, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah, of Kirjathjearim, like I said it correctly, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to the words of Jeremiah. See, when we men and women of Yah are on the same page with Yah, we all sound alike. We're not going to take you to Malachi 3 and tell you the tithe is money. If we all hearing from Yah and following precept upon precept, line upon line, by the time we get to Malachi 3, we know what tithe is because it was taught to us in the law. It's in the first five books. But when you don't study the first five books, or when we don't study the first five books, then Malachi 3 makes sense to be called money. Now we understand why these false doctrines are being taught. Because people are not following the precepts upon precept, line upon line. People are not starting in Genesis. We preachers are not starting in Genesis and studying from Genesis to Revelation, word by word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. Verse 21. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Uriah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went into Egypt. Verse 22. And Jehoiakim the king sent men into Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him into Egypt. And they fetched forth Uriah out of Egypt and brought him unto Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahikam the son of Shaphan was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him into the hands of the people to put him to death. When our prophets were telling our people what was going to happen, they were killing them. That's why when you look at Matthew 23, when you get on to Matthew 23 and you look at verse 37, it makes sense now. I'm in 22. Matthew 23, verse 37, it makes sense. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stoned them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chicken under her wing, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. That's why I have to say it the way I just heard the Spirit of Yah say it to me. That's why when you have ignorant people, ignorant is not a bad word. It just means that that person doesn't understand. That's why you have ignorant people who make claims that the Bible has been tampered with, because they don't know the proper way to look at it. Okay. And so these things are revealed. So I'll say this now. Micah, let me get out of Jeremiah. And since I'm referring to both of these books, then I'll go ahead and say that, and so I put them in their order. Now, with the understanding of what everything we've covered now, okay, I'll say this now. Micah is talking about our nation's future captivity by Babylon. We just looked at it, saw that, Micah chapter 4, verse 9 through 10, mainly. Jeremiah 26, verse 18 through 24 confirms it. And Matthew 24, verse 2, I'll just say specifically verse 2, although we covered 1 and 2, but verse 2 is referring to the scattering of our nation in 70 AD. Two different events. Both of these events, the temple was destroyed. Christ said not one stone would be on another. It happened in 70 AD. Well, when Michael talked about it in Micah 3 verse 12, it happened when Babylon came in. Now, because of the Babylon captivity, the scripture points out and give us an understanding that Esau or Edom participated with this event, or Micah 4 verse 10, this event. Edom was one of the nations that was with Babylon. This is why, as we're studying the scriptures, Yah is constantly revealing things to us in His Word. That's why when we look, and I'll just deal with to the always to the left. That's why when we get to when we get to Psalms 137, we're at Psalms 137, and I'm gonna just show you here. Where can I show you? I'll do it from here. You see Psalms right here. Micah is a few books later. You see it? So when we read Psalms 137, because we hadn't made it to Micah yet, or other books that confirm what I said earlier. What I said earlier about Edom, Psalms 137 just says this here, but y'all want us to retain the information. Psalm 137 verse 7 says, "Remember, O Yah," who's talking? Okay, it says, "Remember, O Yah." Now, in order to understand what's going on, it says, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down." Yeah, we wept. And we wept when we remembered Zion. So it's talking about this. Okay. Verse 2, we hanged our harps upon the willow in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive. Babylon. Verse 10. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that washed us required of us mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How shall we sing Yah's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem. It was a heap. Micah 3:12. It was a heap. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Yah, the children of Edom, connected to Babylon, not Rome. Remember, O Yah, the children of Edom, in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, destroy, turn it into a heap. Who said, raise it, even to the foundation of our own brother, Jacob, Esau. That was our brother celebrating our destruction. So it wasn't Edom helping Rome, the Romans. Edom was in partnership with Babylon. If we just follow the book. I ain't gonna say it like I heard it. Even though y'all say I can say it. I just don't wanna do it. I said a little tasteful. Instead of just pulling scriptures out of our rear end. And we just follow the book. Remember, O Yah, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem. Here. Edom helped Babylon, not Rome. We got these ignorant Israelite brothers out on the street calling Esau Rome. My Yah. Raise it, even to the foundation thereof, O daughter of Babylon. Connecting it. Edom is with Babylon. Edom was helping destroying. Edom was helping Babylon destroy our nation. Our own brother. Jeremiah 12. I'm going to get out of Psalms 37. I'm also, well, I'll just use the Bible here. Jeremiah 12, verse 6. For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yeah, they have called a multitude after thee, believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. Now, when you read all of this and keep following these books, and then you move over into Jeremiah 49. I'm just showing you quickly instead of having us read all these chapters, verse by verse. Jeremiah 49, verse 17 says, also Edom shall be a desolation. Y'all judged Edom already. But you have these brothers standing out in the street saying, Edom is the white man who's going to be judged later on. Edom has already been judged because of what they did to our nation. Psalms 137, Jeremiah 6. Verse 17, also Edom shall be a desolation. Everyone that goeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. You can go to certain places that Edom lived as a nation. It's a desolation to this very day. Nobody's there. As in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the neighbor cities thereof, saith Yah, no man shall abide there, neither shall a son of man dwell in it. Yah already dealt with Edom. Yah ain't finna deal with no Edom down the road like the way it's being taught in reference to Matthew 24. Edom is our brother that did wrong, and Yah judged him for it. All right? And this is how we start seeing the scriptures as we take our time and allow the scriptures to interpret themselves. So I'll say this, and then I'm done. People often mistakenly identify the Babylon captivity of which Edom assisted, Psalms 137 verse 7, Jeremiah 12 and 6, and was judged, Jeremiah 49, 17 and 18. And our scattering and the destruction of our temple in 70 AD. People often mistake these two events as one and the same, but they're different events that happened at a different time frame. And when we study the scriptures correctly, we can clearly see that that's a fact. And so I wanted to show you this as an example on today in order for you to even be more encouraged and more diligent, more disciplined to make sure that you study those books chapter by chapter, or I like to say word by word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. It's important that we do that. And when we do, everything just ties up together and we see it clearly. You know, a person may say, Pastor, but you just be seeing it so clear. Well, I've been at it a while. I've been doing this for 30-some years, man. And since y'all taught me to do it the right way for the past 24, started in 2000, being taught the right way by y'all, so I'm going to teach you myself. So the past 24 years, I've been studying the scriptures the right way, and now all this stuff just jump off the page at me. I just see it because it's the studying has been there. The time has been spent. You know, it has been well spent. And so I see it. And man, this is what I do. And I get excited talking about it. I like showing people what the scriptures say. And I thank y'all for giving me what I prayed for, or putting in me to ask for what he wanted me to pray for. That's the best way to look at it. I prayed and I said, y'all, if you call me to be a pastor, then bless me to be able to teach the people the truth. That was my main concern. Because I don't want to leave nobody wrong. Y'all put that in my heart to ask him for what he was had put in me now. And he did just that. And I encourage you as I get ready to close. Y'all, I'm telling you, it takes discipline to do this. It takes discipline to learn these scriptures the way that we just discussed on tonight. It takes discipline because one little misunderstanding of a sentence can get us totally off track. And so it really requires being led by the Spirit. I ain't got enough sense to see this stuff. Y'all just be showing. He be showing things, but he's showing these things because I'm following his rule, Genesis to Revelation, word by word, scripture by scripture, book by book, chapter by chapter, book by book. And y'all said, since you obeying, I'm going to show you stuff. Now when I get in Genesis and go from Genesis to Revelation, all that stuff is just jumping off the page, hitting me all upside the head. I'm like, sometimes I say, y'all stop. It's too much. It's too much information. It's just coming. Let me rest a minute. And by his grace, he allows me to take a break from all the revelation that he's given, from just being obedient and following the rules, the instruction that he's given on how to understand the scriptures. Do that, y'all. Don't think that I said something earlier that I want to encourage you on. Remember when I said that since, you know, when I was sick, that I had kind of slowed down on my studying, but now Yah has redeemed that time. It's like I'm picking up more and more chapters because so much understanding is there, to the point where, you know, I'm going 5-6 chapters or more at a time, because I understand the stuff, you know. And what I mean by stuff, the scriptures. I understand the scriptures, so I'm back on pace from what I had lost when I was sick. Redeem the time. So I say that to say is, when you study from Genesis to Revelation like he wants us to do, he'll redeem the time. It's not going to take you a long time. It's not going to take you 12 years like it did me. You may do it in a year. You may do it in 2 years, because he may be giving you so much understanding that you're like, okay, Pastor, you know, I know you normally do 4 or 5 chapters, but man, so much revelation and information I'm understanding and gathering as I'm studying the scriptures. Man, I did a whole book. That's fine if y'all dealing with you that way. So what I'm saying to you, don't think that, man, this is going to take me a long time. Just keep going and let y'all lead you on how you know, how many chapters you need to go. And I don't believe it's going to take y'all as long as it took me. I don't believe it. But once you get to Revelation and get to the end of the book, start all back over again. Because he's going to show you some more stuff that you may have missed from your first time doing it. I'll say your first time doing it seriously. You got a lot of people who say, oh, I've read the whole Bible before. They learn nothing though. Or learn little. Okay. All right, I'm done. Any questions, comments? We good? Okay, let me go ahead and pray and then dismiss you guys. Y'all know I love you very much, and we're going to keep moving. Father, y'all, we just bless you for just revealing to us how to see the scriptures according to your divine will. And we bless you for loving us enough to teach us the proper way to study and to allow the scriptures to interpret themselves. It's just the greatest mystery that you revealed to us, I feel like, of all time, and we thank you for it. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.